Well, I wanted to do a sharing session on kindness. When I was a principal, the faculty met and they decided we were going to be a school with very few rules. So we decided no more than five. Be safe. Be respectful. Work hard. It was in Wisconsin, Midwest. Try. And then they had time for one more and be kind. And I think it was real important. We talked about being kind. I can't say I was particularly a kind person. And then when my son was attacked publicly on 60 Minutes and later on, the byliner came out online. He wrote the book, Three Cups of Tea. And that was really in his heart, that get to know the people, sit down and listen. And the byliner was entitled Three Cups of Deceit. And I thought, how mean. And then I got to looking at a lot of things. I was living in Alaska, I'm no fan of Sarah Palin, but I thought about that interview with her and the way they asked her what she read and how much fun was made of that. And again, I thought, how mean. And so since that time, I have decided I'm going to try and be kind and look at kindness. And I think it's disappearing from our vocabulary. And so I went to reception today and two people were talking. First two words I heard were kind and kindness. So maybe Holden Village is a real exception to that. But what I would like you to do is to take a magazine or a newspaper and spend about 5 minutes and see if you can find the word.
The word
kind or kindness.
Sports
section?
Sure.
Only in sports, that's for sure.
Sports. Here we go.
Not in sports.
What about health? Maybe arts and leisure, huh?
So if you have a Bible, choose one of the verses here, or maybe you know one.
Do you say which one we pick?
Yeah, you can say which one you picked, and then if you're volunteer right away, someone else will have to pick another one.
Micah 6:8.
Oh, I already said that.
Colossians 3:22.
I'll take Proverbs 11:7.
Oh, Micah 6:8 showed up twice. So.
Proverbs 11:17.
It's two different versions of the Bible.
Yeah. You took what?
Colossians 3:22.
I'll take Proverbs 31.
I'll take 1 Corinthians.
You mean that?
Do we have them all covered? Both Proverbs, you're doing.
I didn't hear anybody say Colossians.
I think you meant 3:12.
Okay.
3:12.
Proverbs 11. Who has that?
I've got that one.
Proverbs 31.
Me.
Micah 6:8.
Got it.
Zechariah 7:9.
I can take that.
Romans 2:4.
Got it.
1 Corinthians 3. Mike. Oh, we got
it. I got it twice.
Okay. Ephesians.
I got it.
Colossians.
I've got it, but it's 3:12, I think you mean.
Oh, I...
You do.
I make a lot of mistakes.
It's okay, we're a kind bunch.
Thank you. So, you don't have to follow this way, but when you're ready, read what the Bible has to tell us.
Proverbs 11:17 says, "Those who are kind reward themselves, but the cruel do themselves harm."
Okay. And then
Romans 2:4. "Or do you despise the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience? Do you not realize that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?"
Proverbs 31:26 says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue."
Micah 6:8, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?"
And then Zechariah 7:9 says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another."
And then 1 Corinthians 13:4, kind of know this one. "Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude."
Ephesians 4:31-32. "Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you."
Colossians 3:12, "As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience."
So there's a lot to be said about kindness. I liked this one, and I couldn't find a marker big enough.
Oh, the markers are in a basket.
Yeah, I was looking, but I didn't. Kindness is the EMC squared of the spirit. I just love that quote.
And who said it?
Piero Ferrucci, who's on your sheet there. "The Dalai Lama, kindness and compassion are among the principal things that make our lives meaningful. They are a source of lasting happiness and joy, and they are the foundation of a good heart." Piero Ferrucci, in his book on kindness, talks about we are in an ice age of warmth.
Oh.
And he talks about different things that are going on. And I thought this quote on being sold as a product: "Human warmth is subtracted from everyday life." It's cross the knot out. "Is sold as a product. Homemade ice cream, pasta just like grandma used to make it." All of that, he says, is commercializing kindness or human warmth. And Adam Phillips and Barbara Taylor, in their book on kindness, one component of kindness is a happy disposition. And there are several people here at Holden who I just see smiling all the time. And I want to be sure to tell them that their disposition is a component of kindness. I see three kinds of kindness. I don't know, this just came to me. Circular, or maybe even more so spiral, linear, and then the zero. And I'd like to start about talking what I see as the spiral one. And I saw in the newspaper, Stillwater, Minnesota, a couple years ago, there was an article about prom and eating at the restaurant before prom, and there were five couples. One of the couples was Down syndrome. They were dressed up and they were with these other four couples. When they went to pay their bill, someone in the restaurant had paid it. Now, I didn't see that, but I read it, and I've talked to people about it, and people who have heard me talk about it or have seen it have talked to others, and I see that as kindness being either circular or spiral. What have you heard from someone else or read about kindness that you have passed on?
This sounds kind of weird, but it just popped into my mind immediately when you said that. But I have a brother that has Asperger's, so he still lives at my parents', but he was injured, I think at least 6 months ago now, and so he's still healing from an elbow injury and arm injury, and it happened at work. But so he's not been able to work. So he's living with my parents, who are older and talk loud, and you have to talk loud to them. And so it's a rough life for him to be always with my parents. But it was so fun. I just thought, okay, out of kindness to David, I realized now I could use that word. I needed to go down and spend time with him so he could just get away, you know, from my parents. And it was so sweet because we'd like walk around Como Lake together, and then he'd say, well, I'll buy a Dairy Queen. You know, just all these little things. And I, when I went to pick him up at the hospital, oh, here, you need to take this money. You know, and it was just like so sweet that he was just saying, what you're doing is so good to me, here it is back. You know, and my brother's not a real good communicator. Well, he talks all the time, but anyways, it's different. But I was just like, it was such a special time. So, there you go.
This wasn't a kindness that I heard about, but it was one that I received and we told.
We're going to talk about
okay.
What you've done and received
okay.
In just a minute.
Okay.
But I would like, because I'd kind of like to talk about this spiral kind of thing, or circle.
I was just going to share an email I received that one of the concerns I have about being up here at Holden is a friend who is aging and getting more and more frail, and I'm really sorry not to be with her at this time of her life. And another friend who has disability issues had emailed me about that she picks up our mutual friend, our aging friend, and was taking her places, and she thought her kindness was being directed toward this older woman, this older friend, but really I was also part of, as you say, the spiral, because it was a relief to me to know, you know, that this support was going on.
You know, you talked about someone buying their dinner. I remember hearing on the news one time about a Starbucks where they had they were trying to go for some kind of a, they were trying to go for a record, but they were just trying to every day kind of beat what had happened for the day before, where someone buys...
Pay it forward?
Yeah, the pay it forward thing, and, you know, it was like over 100 people in a row had done that pay it forward thing, and it was on the news, so...
Wow. This was a speaker I was hearing or listening to, and he was regularly passed or went on this toll bridge, and so he came up with the idea. He was listening to something about, you know, random acts of kindness, and he said it took him like a month where he was, every day he was going to pay for the person's toll that was behind him, and he, you know, kept putting it off. And so finally, he said, one day he, okay, today I'm going to do it. So he pulls up to the toll booth and he says, here's mine, and this is for the person behind. And he said, the woman looked at him and then kind of looked back, and he said he looked in his rearview mirror for the first time, and he was driving some beat up rattle trap car, and this guy's like a convertible Mercedes behind him. and he said, the lady looked at it, and he looked back and goes, "You don't know him, do you?" And he goes, "No, I don't." And she goes, "Okay, well," then he took off, and he said, he could see the lady trying to explain to the guy. He didn't have to pay the toll. This guy in front of him, he said, finally this guy goes blasting by him like 100 miles an hour, not, you know, passing him on the freeway, going like this, you know. But he said it turned out he had a lot of fuse. Thinking, Pat, I really messed with that guy. Because he was some kind of rattle trap on his fare for him.
And the, as you say, that you heard they kept paying, that's what I see as the linear. Something's done for you, so
you pay it forward.
You pay it forward, pay it forward. And I think both of those. Well, when has an act of kindness been done for you?
We had one real simple just happen when we were in Boston. We got to Boston and, you know, Casey had three suitcases and we were using public transportation and got to Hamilton, which is the city where Lori's parents are, and that's, we were staying at their house, but they weren't there. So no one was there to pick us up at the train station. So we had, we figured out it was 1.7 mile walk to get to the house. So we were going to leave the suitcases there with the kids, and Chris and I were going to walk to the house and pick up the car that they were loaning to us and drive back. And I mean, we hadn't even gotten the kids situated or anything, and this guy had been sitting there in this big black King cab truck. And, you know, we kind of walked by his truck, and he says, "Do you guys need a ride?" We kind of looked around, and he said, "I'm a local, I can give you a ride." And it was like, okay. And so, you know, the suitcases and the backpacks and everything went in the back. The four of us fit quite easily in his truck. And, you know, we showed him the map that we had of where we were going, and he said, "Oh, that's right around the corner from where I live." And so, anyway, he drove us to Lori's parents' house, and it's very nice.
I was married. I had four kids. The youngest was 3 months, and my husband out of town. We were living in Washington, D.C., and he was on a business trip to New Orleans and got hit by a car as a pedestrian.
Oh.
And so what I needed to do is get three kids ditched for 2 weeks. And I did it through the church. And I said, "How am I ever going to pay you?" And they said, no, don't wish that on us. Just pay it forward. Help somebody else. You don't need to do anything for us." And then when I got down to New Orleans, the security for the hospital was really tight. I could not get this 3-month-old nursing baby inside the hospital. And so the church down there was a gal that had a nursing baby, and she went and nursed the kid for me. And again, you know, you can't.
That's priceless.
Pay that stuff back, you know, you just can't.
Other recipients of kindness. I've got two. One, I was driving to Alaska, and most of the way there's just one road. But I was in Prince George, four lanes. I was in the second from the right and just going along, and the car in front of me stopped. Hand went out, went like this. And that was the only turnoff to Alaska 1. Oh. Not a big thing, but he evidently saw my license, knew I was in the wrong lane, and I don't know how many miles I would have had to have driven before I could have turned around and maybe wouldn't have realized I was in the wrong place. And another act of kindness that meant a lot to me is I fell and split my head open here, and My daughter took me to the emergency room and a man came in with a heart attack. So it was a long time before I could get stitched up, and I kept thinking, that blood that I've got all over the carpet and in my bathroom is going to be hardened and congealed. How will I ever get that off the rug? And I came home, and my daughter's husband and son had come over and cleaned up the whole thing. I don't know when I've ever felt so grateful for someone cleaning for me. And Kyle, who was in middle school at the time, said, oh, it was so exciting. He said, your handprint was down there in blood. It was just like being in a mystery.
Oh, my gosh.
So, someone, so it can be a, what should I say, a really big thing. Or it can be someone signaling you you're in the wrong lane. Anyone else want to share?
I had foster kids, and God, there were so many things that were so kind that the community did for me without me even having to ask. I was just floored. I just took them in, and you know, one thing led to another, and all of a sudden I found myself in a position where I had to get licensed to keep them because I saw a bad situation, and the state got involved. But we passed a piece at church, and somebody slapped a 50 in my hand on a day that I didn't have enough money for groceries. It was just amazing. I remember I was going out, and I was going to use my credit card for the first time to pay for groceries, and there was a voucher for $100 to the local grocery store in my mailbox with nobody's name on it. Just a million different ways. One guy, his wife and daughter were homesick, throwing up their guts, and he heard that we had cleaned out this condemned house, and I literally had more than a minivan's worth of dirty laundry, moldering laundry, in all different states of repair, and I had like boxes and boxes, and I told the kids what we're going to do, their kids, that we're going to take all this stuff to the laundromat, and we're going to wash it, and we're going to go through, and we're going to find you 7 shirts and 7 pants, and then we're going to get rid of the rest of it. You can pick whichever ones you want. But the laundry pile was enormous, and I remember this dad coming over, young guy, and he had his wife and his baby daughter at home throwing up, and he took 4 baskets of laundry home to wash, and I was just like speechless. I'm like, Kurt, I know you're your family's sick. Are you? Oh, well, I'm home with them anyway. I can do the laundry while I'm taking care of them. Floyd.
I was going to say something similar, that having a severely disabled husband and caring for him for almost 15 years, the acts of kindness are legion. But one that sticks in my mind was very early on, because we lived in a small community and the community as a whole wanted to do things for us. And so they decided they needed to raise money for us. And we had very good insurance and we weren't impoverished by any means. And so it was really stunning to me. And I brought my husband home after a lengthy time in rehab and walked into the grocery store, and here were the cans that are always on grocery store checkout counters, and there was my husband's photo and the name, and I wasn't sure that I really wanted him on the grocery store checkout counter, and I had to do this little dialogue with myself that, no, in truth, we did not need that money, but the community needed to demonstrate their love for him. And so I just bucked up and said, thank you very much.
I think it's the acts of kindness that you cannot repay that are so impactful and are hitting my heart in ways, thinking about the families that took your children for 2 weeks. I mean, there's no way that you would pay that forward in that same capacity. And it's those that are not thought about, that are just simple acts that someone does without preconceptions at all, and it's just done, that I think are just striking about humanity. And those are the ones that I'm resonating with very much. It's cool.
Do you think you might, at some time or other, tell someone else about that?
That's a really good question. I don't know. Because I think that there are each of us have those stories in our lives. And I may not ever share this particular story unless a situation came. I don't think I would. I don't know. I think we all have those stories to share, though. And maybe I share mine, or maybe I share someone else's, but I think,
anyone else?
I had a fun one this last summer. I went hiking with my kids from here to Stehekin. And I had been to Stehekin, both docks, but that was my extent of Stehekin. And so we were hiking, and it was like, okay, we're going to get to Stehekin, and we'll go to the bakery, and we'll go to the landing. And so we get there. Well, Stehekin's like 17 miles long. It's not it's not like Holden. So we set up our tent and we go out, we're going to walk down to the bakery, and we see this car on the side of the road, and we say, so how far is it to the bakery? And and this is after hiking 13 miles that day, and it's probably two and a half miles down the road. And shoot, that's a 5 mile hike to get there and back. And then, well, how far is it to the landing? Well, that's probably 5 miles. And then, oh my goodness, and she said, well, just stick out your thumb, somebody will pick you up and give you a ride. And so we were walking down the road, and the first car came, and put her thumb out and told her where we wanted to go, and she said, well, I'm not going that way, but someone will give you a ride. And then she started taking off, and then she stopped, and she said, you know what, I have to pick up my husband, if you don't mind stopping at my house first, I'll drop you off at the landing, we can have dinner. Like, okay, cool. So we start riding, and we get to her house, and she gets up, and she goes, well, why don't you just come to dinner with us? And so, So we go, okay, so they're going the other way. So we go out with her husband and this other woman who was coming up here on staff. And so we have a wonderful dinner with them, and then I go to pay, and they go, he already paid for it here. Anyway, so we got a free ride, a nice meal, and it was free, and then they took us back to our campsite. It's like, wow. Well,
Steak is a good place to hang out.
Anyone else that wants to share a kindness done to them? This is easier than the next one, because next I'm going to ask you to share a kindness you've done. And for a group like this, that's going to be harder.
I had a similar experience in Stehekin. When Peter and I, we went out on the PCT, we had met Judy Clark, who just comes up here. Neither of us knew really well the Stehekin Bakery, and she's like, well, you can just pitch a tent in my yard my way on your way back. I probably won't be there. But, it's a place to camp. As soon as I have a tent set up, so you can just use that. So Peter and I mean, we'd hiked 26 miles a day before and 25 miles that day with backpacks. So we were exhausted, and we were both down like 12 pounds. And we came to her house, and not only was she there, but she was making black bean burgers and for another PCT hiker, and she took us in. It was like just being enveloped in somebody's hospitality. Like, she had an air mattress in her tent with a duvet on it. It made us breakfast with bacon the next morning, and just like, you must be low on potassium, have a banana, and you must be low on this, have berries, and just kept feeding us. So that we were just so skinny and tired and sad, and we came away just feeling just completely filled with, like, and also, like, did our laundry, let us take multiple hot showers, and, like, drip all the dirt that we've been collecting for the last 10 days on our shower floor. It's just a really wonderful experience of hospitality and kindness.
Anyone else willing to share? Or maybe some of you haven't even had anyone be kind. Well, what about an act of kindness you have done?
I got two stories.
You have two stories?
Yeah. One of them, a friend of mine who was nursing her kid, had to have breast surgery. And this was the good old days where she had to be in the hospital the night before and the night after. And the kid was not thriving, and so she was doing an elimination diet. So I had to go on this diet where I was allowed potatoes, rice, and chicken. That was what she worked up to. So I ate potatoes, rice, and chicken, and nursed her kid, nursed my kid, and got her through that. The other story I want to tell is we were on our way to church. We were late. Here's a car on the side of the road. And I told Ralph, I said, you stop. That could be me. And it turned out it was the wife of the choir director, chorus director for University of Utah. She was going to pick him up. And they had been on a trip in San Francisco, taking the kids to the beach. One of the kids died in the surf.
Oh.
And so the last thing she needed was to be late for picking him up.
I have one that is an example of your spiral again. And it was just recently I was coming back to, I was in Wenatchee and I was coming back to catch the boat to come back to the village. And I stopped in Entia at the little latte stand or coffee stand. And the people in front of me were taking forever and ever and ever and ever. And I was watching the clock and thinking about the boat. And so finally, I decided I couldn't wait anymore, and I started to back up to go around that car, and there was a fellow on foot who was waiting behind my car, but he was on foot, and so I leaned back to warn him that I was backing up, and he said, oh, he said, I think you can go ahead now, that there's time, and there's some other element that I can't quite remember. He may have been gotten there ahead of me or something, because I said, well, you should go on ahead. And he said, no, you go ahead. And so I had heard these stories about people buying coffee for the person behind them. And I'm sure I wouldn't have thought of that otherwise. But I got my coffee, and I gave her an extra $5 and said, this is for the guy behind me, and took off. And I never even looked in my rearview window or anything. I have no idea. I trust that she bought it for him, but I don't think I would have thought of doing that if I hadn't heard those other stories.
We were hiking in Utah this last March, and there was in Arches, and there's a kind of famous, it's like the one that's on their license plate and stuff, the Arch.
Delica
Arch. So we were walking out to that, and on the way, I think we saw them on the way out, and it was a...
But they were coming back.
It was a little... The girl was probably, two or something? And then she was carrying a baby, and then her husband had cerebral palsy or something like that, and so he was walking with a cane, and they were hiking. And they were struggling a little bit the first time we passed them, and then
she was crying, don't you?
Yeah, and then coming back, the little girl was just really crying, and the mom kind of had tears and stuff too. But she was kind of, and I said, you know, can we help you? You know, my husband can carry your daughter. No. You know, you could tell she wanted to be,
she didn't want a stranger to carry her.
She wanted to be independent, too, I think, was part of it. You know, I can take care of this. This is my family, my kids, I can take care of this. And then, I don't remember if I then asked her again or something or how, but I think I said again, I said, are you sure? You know, he's carried a lot of kids on his shoulders or something like that. And then I think she realized that she was in over her head and stuff, and then she said okay, and then the little girl was a little hesitant, but you know, Chris just picked her up, put it, you know, and within 10 seconds or something, the little girl was calmed down and stuff, and the mom was just, you know, anyway, so we walked back with them and got them back to their car and stuff. I was in Bellingham walking around Lake Patton one time, and it was like the fall, and I ran into a person who was on the wrong side of the lake from where all the cars and stuff are. He was barefoot and wearing a wetsuit and trying to walk on the crushed gravel path and had about a mile to go.
Oh!
And it was cold. And I was like, I had one of my kids in a stroller, and I was walking with my father-in-law at the time. And I just came to a complete stop, and I was like, oh my God, what are you doing? And she says, well, I swam across. She said that this wetsuit is just, it's chafing me really bad. I cannot swim back. I won't make it. So I'm walking, and I'm like, and her feet were already getting pretty cut up, and I said, I was just looking at my stroller and my diaper bag, trying to figure out if I could make some kind of a MacGyver diaper thing. I thought she's just gonna be a bloody mess. And I had nothing. I had nothing that, you know, Pampers weren't gonna cut it for very far. So I finally whipped off my shoes, and I had on a pair of, back then, this was like 20 years ago, back when Thorlows were really gold. And they cost me like $15 for that pair of socks. And it was like I had like two pairs of these socks that I really liked. But I was like, here, you take my socks, also have shoes. And my father-in-law, knowing exactly what I was wearing, because he was a mountaineer, was like, find out where her car is, you get your socks back. And I'm like, she's going to walk a mile and gravel in my socks. I don't need them back. They're good, but they're not that good. But I just remember the look on her face, you know, because they were nice, thick wool blend socks that probably were almost as good as shoes. And
that's sort of take off your coat and
yeah,
give it
really.
To.
I still had shoes. I was trying to figure out if I could push her in my stroller, or none of that was going to work. That was the only thing I'd come up with. There was some serious gratitude on her face that day, and some serious disbelief on my father-in-law's face.
Well, I see we're coming to the end of time, but I want to say my zero one. I think the kindest thing we can do is not to be unkind. That's probably the kindest thing of all. We can repeat kindnesses, which all kinds of... we can do a kindness. Psychologically, they can take your heart rate, your blood pressure. You do an act of kindness, your blood pressure will go down. Dopamine is released. But seems to me the kindest thing of all is not to be unkind. And this is a mean society we're living in. I wanted to get to bullying. We won't, but... working in schools, it is really hard when this is a mean society. Kids come to school and, this will date me, but they've seen The Simpsons, and they will do the same things, use the same words of some of the unkind things. Our politicians, when Jason was talking about with the public radio not wanting comments, he would like to see that stopped because they can be so unkind. Some of the websites I look at, I can't believe the comments that are written. So unkind that it has to be a put down.
I'm a mom of three young ones. How do you teach kindness in the midst of this unkind world to our little ones? You can show, but how do you teach kindness?
Name it.
Yeah.
Oh, that was really kind, and you praise that. Or when something is not kind, you say that was really unkind. That
or even even stronger than saying that was unkind. Is that a kind thing to do? Mm-hmm. How can we do this in a kind way? So they're thinking about it. But modeling is the strongest thing going on.
Because I'm like the Schultzes. I'm like, you need to be kind. That's your number one goal in life. And so they're hearing it. But it's the act. And how do you...
And I would love to see on the educational standards a kind one.
Yeah.
You know, passing this, but I think well, the school I was in, because the teachers came up with this, kindness was really emphasized with, I wish it would have come from me, but it didn't. But I think modeling is the strongest thing, and as you said, to point out when something is kind. You know, little children are naturally kind. A baby will try to console another baby that's crying. And wasn't it in the South Pacific, you have to be taught to hate that song? We're past time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Go out and be kind.
Well, I don't have that verse memorized, but there's in the reference, but there, one of the Paul's letters, he talks about, you know, to speak well of people and to look at their actions in the best light possible. And so that, I mean, I think that helps as well. It's very easy to start, why did they do that, and go negative on them. But if you say, wait a minute, why did they do that, and try to go positive, you end up in a completely different place.
Maybe for this Quaker family that really did a lot with kind of nonviolent communication, but I was always so impressed with the way, I was communicating this in the classroom too, and I really like always putting feelings to it instead of being like, no, you can't do this because I'm an adult and I say you can't. Sort of like that makes me feel this, or oh, do you feel this? Like just trying to always give a name to your own feelings and to other people's, and to give your children words for what they're feeling, or to suggest words, not like, but maybe you're feeling frustrated, maybe this is the reason why, or do you feel like that? I think that teaching that empathy by just giving it language, I was so impressed by the way this family was doing it, and have really noticed it since when I work with when I have a colleague or notice another adult doing that, just giving that language.
And even maybe to adults.
Mm-hmm.
When we see kindness someplace, it made me feel so good to see this act of kindness. And in my mind popped this, it has nothing to do with kindness really, but I was in a grocery store and this little girl was whining, and her mother said, I don't understand whining, you're going to have to speak English. And maybe that was a kind way to get her to stop whining. But thank you for your input.